Five things to know this morning. 1. The peace is over. At the NATO summit, President Trump declared the ceasefire with Iran finished and called its leaders scum, and US forces struck Iran for a second straight day, about 170 targets in all. Iran reports at least 14 dead and says it had American bases in Kuwait and Bahrain. Those governments say they intercepted the attacks with no casualties. 2. And underneath the bombs, Iran buried Ayatollah Khamenei this morning in Mashhad, the final act of a six-day funeral for the man the US and Israel killed in February. 3. NATO's summit closed with a big number for Ukraine, 70 billion euros. But Trump gave Kiev only a license to build Patriots, moved to lift Syria's terror sponsor label, and floated pulling a third of US troops out of Europe. 4. Ukraine. An overnight strike on Odessa killed 4, as the reignited Iran war drains the very air defence missiles Kiev is pleading for. 5. And in China, a dam collapse and days of flooding have killed dozens and driven 100,000 people from their homes, with a super typhoon still bearing down on the coast. I'm Pip. Today is Thursday, July 9th, 2026. 5 sections. The war, the burial, the summit's ledger, Ukraine and the storm. Here we go. Iran. The ceasefire that ended June's war is finished. President Trump said so himself at the NATO summit in Ankara. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. And I don't want to deal with them anymore. This is the second straight day of American strikes. After about 80 targets on Tuesday, air defence, command sites, coastal radar, and more than 60 Revolutionary Guard speedboats, all triggered by Iran firing on tankers in the Strait of Hormuz, Central Command hit roughly 90 more, to, in its words, further degrade their ability to threaten freedom of navigation. About 170 targets in 2 days. Iran's health ministry says at least 14 people have been killed and 78 wounded, an Iranian government figure. And Iran hit back. Its Revolutionary Guard claims it struck 85 US sites in Kuwait and Bahrain and downed an American drone. But here's the check on that. Kuwait, Bahrain and Qatar all reported intercepting the attacks this morning, with no casualties. One Iranian munition damaged a residential building in Bahrain. So as of this morning, there are no confirmed American or Allied deaths, and Iran's bigger claims are unverified. And how Trump described Iran's leadership?
Because they're scum, that's the way they act, and that's the way they've done it for 47 years.
Read the posture precisely, because it's being overread in both directions. Trump says it's over, but in the same breath he said we're not looking for long term, and that he'd let his negotiators keep talking if they want. That is not a declaration of a new war. It's a rupture of the deal. The June 17th Islamabad Memorandum, the 14-point framework that stopped the fighting and was supposed to keep Hormuz open toll-free for 60 days. Iran fired on the ships inside that window. Trump tore up the paper and reimposed the oil sanctions. So what's actually dead this morning is the memorandum and its 60-day negotiating clock, not yet the ceasefire in the sense of open war. The distance between the deal is over and the war is back is exactly the space Trump left himself with, we're not looking for long term. Whether that space holds depends on what Iran does with its promise to answer harder.
And I want to be careful and clear about the moral shape of this because it's easy to get lazy with it. The regime started this round. It fired missiles at civilian tankers, at the crews of a gas ship and an oil ship, and that is indefensible, of a peace with a government that murders its own women over a headscarf. Condemn it plainly. But Trump stood at a podium and called them scum, sick people, vicious, violent people. And the leaders, the guard commanders who ordered the tanker attacks, maybe that word finds them. The problem is who's actually under the bombs this morning. 14 dead by Iran's count. Not the men who gave the orders, coastal towns, conscripts, ordinary people in a country of 90 million who never got a vote on any of it. Scum is a word that doesn't aim. It splashes onto a whole people who are the regime's first victims. You can hold both. The regime earns the condemnation, and the Iranian people earn the opposite of contempt. I'm not going to let the second one get lost just because the first one is true.
And the market did the math in real time, because money doesn't do sentiment. Oil jumped, Brent up more than 5% to around $78 a barrel at the settle, over 7% intraday, and pushing past 79 this morning. That's the world pricing the risk that Hormuz, a fifth of the world's oil, gets choked again. Here's the receipt underneath the whole collapse. The memorandum was one trade. Iran gets its oil sales back. The world gets the strait kept open. Iran shot at the ships. Trump killed the oil license and the paper with it. Both halves gone. Again. Except this time, he said the word over out loud. Watch the tankers, not the transcripts. If insurers bolt and ships reroute around the Gulf, the price at your pump finishes the sentence Trump started.
The watch. Whether there's a third round of strikes or a real Iranian retaliation and any confirmed casualties on either side. Whether Trump's negotiators actually keep a channel open and the tankers, the insurance and the oil price through the day. And in the middle of all of it, a funeral ended. This Thursday morning, Iran buried Ayatollah Ali Khamenei at the Imam Reza Shrine in Mashhad, the holiest site in Iranian Shia Islam and the city where he was born. The coffin was flown in under fighter jet escort. Crowds filled the streets under the shrine's golden dome. It closes a six-day state funeral for the supreme leader, the United States and Israel, assassinated on February 28th. Iranian officials claim the crowds ran into the millions, figures no one can independently check, and the absence that has shadowed the whole week held to the end. Mojtaba Khamenei, the son named to succeed his father, never appeared. Not in Tehran, not in Qom, not in Iraq, not at the grave. Iranian sources say he was kept away over fears he'd be tracked or killed. Other reporting says he was injured in the February strike. Both are claims. Either way, the heir was never seen.
Sit with that, because it is the single most revealing thing in a week built to reveal strength. A theocracy staged the largest funeral in its history to say, "We endure. The line continues." And the man chosen to be that continuity could not stand at his own father's grave. Whether it's fear or injury, the signal the region reads is identical. The succession is not solid enough to show its face. Millions in the streets, and the next supreme leader move through the whole week like something that can't be exposed to daylight. That is the tell under the pageant. A show of permanence run by a state that is nervous about its own future. And it buries its leader on the morning American bombs return, grief and war in the same frame, which is exactly the frame Tehran will use.
I'll just hold the line I've been holding all week, because it still matters. The mourning in those streets is real. People lost the only supreme leader most of them had ever known, killed by foreign bombs. That grief belongs to them. And the record, the executions, the morality police, the tankers this week, that belongs to him and the machine he built. You can let the people have their grief and still refuse the regime the meaning it wants to squeeze out of it. Both true. Same morning.
The watch. Whether Mojtaba surfaces at all now that the funeral is over, which is really the question of whether the succession is settled, and whether Tehran turns the imagery of this week into the case for its promised response. The summit. NATO's Ankara meeting closed with a declaration and a bill. On paper, a reaffirmed ironclad commitment to Article 5, 70 billion euros in military help for Ukraine this year, and more than $50 billion in new weapons orders. Secretary General Rutte's slogan for it, NATO delivers. But right past the slogan, and it's more complicated. The $70 billion for Ukraine is mostly money already promised, about 30 billion from an EU loan, the rest bilateral. And Rutte's boast that the alliance is already measuring 4% of GDP on defence is his framing, not a like-for-like fact. Per country, Europe and Canada average closer to 2.5%. Then the headline from the sidelines.
So one of the things we're going to be talking about is we're going to give a license to you to make Patriots. That's pretty cool, right?
And notice exactly what that is, because the wording is the whole story. A license to make Patriots is not a delivery of Patriots. Ukraine did not walk out of Ankara with new interceptors or a date for them. It walked out with a promise to eventually be shown how to build the most complex air defence missile in the Western arsenal, a process that is years, not weeks, from a round coming off a Ukrainian line. On Syria, something more concrete. Trump met the new president, al-Sharaa, a former jihadist who took Damascus in December, called him fantastic, and notified Congress he intends to strike Syria off the terror sponsor list. That starts a 45-day clock, and it would reopen Syria to trade and investment. A remarkable turn, though there's no sign, whatever was floated, of Syria signing up to fight Hezbollah.
And here's the crack running right under the NATO Delivers banner. Reported by CNN on the same day. Trump privately mused about cutting American troops in Europe by a third. And he reportedly threatened to pull all 68,000 of them if Denmark won't hand over Greenland. Around 5,000 have already left Germany this year. So picture the split screen. The communique says ironclad, and the president who signs it is, in the next room, floating the withdrawal of a third of the force that makes it ironclad. European leaders are calling it an empty threat. Maybe. But empty threat is a thing you have to say out loud only when someone with the power to do it keeps saying the threat.
And the reason the Patriot line matters so much cuts straight into the next story, so let me set it there. Overnight, Russia hit Odessa. 4 people killed, 7 wounded, 2 ballistic missiles and nearly 100 drones. And Ukraine knocked down most of the drones, but not the ballistics, because it doesn't have enough interceptors. That is why Zelensky wanted Patriots in his hands, not a manufacturing license for 2029. And here's the brutal arithmetic the summit couldn't fix. The United States fired well over 1,000 Patriot interceptors defending against Iran in June, maybe 1,400, out of a stockpile of about 2,500. That shelf doesn't refill until the end of the decade. So when the Iran war reignited this week, it didn't just kill people in Iran, it drained the exact missiles that would have stopped the ones that killed 4 people in Odessa. 2 wars, 1 shrinking shelf. That's the whole grim link.
The watch. Whether the Patriot license ever becomes a real production line, and whether the US frees up interceptors for Kiev despite the Gulf, the 45-day clock on Syria's terror designation, and whether the trip cut talk is a bargaining chip or a plan. China. While the world watched the Gulf, southern China spent the week underwater. Days of extreme rain, the remnants of a tropical storm, have killed at least 39 people in the south, by Chinese authorities' count. And the deadliest blow wasn't the rain itself. In the city of Hangzhou, a reservoir dam partially collapsed and sent a wall of water into the streets. 26 of the dead were there. The hardest hit region, Guangxi, saw more than 3 feet of rain in places. 40 rivers burst their banks and more than 130,000 people were evacuated, 9 still missing. Rescuers pulled over 10,000 trapped students and teachers out of flooded schools in one city and flew food in by drone. President Xi ordered what state media called an all-out rescue. And it isn't over. Super Typhoon Bavi, which peaked as a Category 5 near 180 miles an hour and has since eased to around 125, is tracking past the Philippines and Taiwan toward a forecast landfall on China's east coast this weekend.
This is the story that would lead the show on any other day, and it deserves the airtime. A dam failing is not weather. It's weather meeting infrastructure, and infrastructure losing. The rain was extraordinary, yes, but the 26 people who died in Hangzhou died because a structure that was supposed to hold didn't. And watch how the Chinese state is using this. Xi's all-out order, the rescue drones, the numbers released fast. This is the government performing competence and control in real time, because in China, a natural disaster is always also a political test of whether the state can protect its people. The relief is real. The stagecraft is also real. Both, again, it's the theme of the whole morning.
And before we let the numbers go abstract, 10,000 children and teachers trapped in schools, water rising, waiting for boats, families on roofs, 130,000 people who went to sleep at home and woke up in a shelter, 39 dead in the South, and that's before Bavi even makes landfall. The South is still bailing out, clearing mud, burying people, and a storm that topped out at 180 miles an hour is 3 days from the coast. That is the part I want to sit on the human beat. The recovery hasn't finished, and the next disaster is already on the map. Hold those people in your mind today, too. Not everything that matters this morning is a missile.
The Watch. Bavi's track and where it comes ashore this weekend. Zhejiang or Fujian, by the current forecast. The final toll from the southern floods as the water goes down. And whether the dam collapse gets a real accounting. Three quick ones before we go. Trade. It's official. The United States did not renew the USMCA pact with Canada and Mexico in its current form. As the Trade Office put it, the USMCA is not renewed. The North American trade deal that replaced NAFTA now goes into annual review instead of a clean extension. FISA, Section 702. The Warrantless Surveillance Authority reaches day 28 since it lapsed, though collection continues under court orders approved in March. And across the Atlantic, Britain's Labour Party opened nominations today to replace Keir Starmer as leader and prime minister. Andy Burnham, the mayor of Greater Manchester, is so far the only candidate. He needs 81 of Labour's MPs to get on the ballot by next Thursday. If no one runs against him, he could be prime minister within weeks.
And that USMCA line is quietly a big deal, so don't let it slide by as procedure. $1 trillion+ a year in North American trade just lost its guaranteed floor. Not renewed in its current form means it drops into a year-by-year review, which is another way of saying every automaker, farmer, and importer on the continent now plans around uncertainty instead of a deal. Same administration, same week. Tearing up a Middle East memorandum and letting the North American one lapse. The through line of the morning isn't only Iran. It's a president who treats every agreement as temporary and dares the other side to do something about it.
The watch on those, whether annual review becomes real tariff leverage on Canada and Mexico, any movement on FISA day 28, and whether Burnham draws a challenger before Thursday. Before we go, the morning's watch, one line each. Iran, a third round, a real retaliation, confirmed casualties and whether any channel stays open. Hormuz, the tankers and the oil price. Mashhad, whether Mojtaba is ever seen. Ankara, the Patriot license, the Syria clock, the troop cut talk. Ukraine, interceptors or the lack of them. China, Bavi's landfall and the final flood toll. Washington, USMCA's review and FISA at day 28. That's the morning. A broken ceasefire, a burial in Mashhad, and a coast bracing for the next storm. And running under all of it, one thread. Agreements coming apart and people living in the space where they used to hold. Hold the strategy and the human cost in the same hand. That's the job.
Package install success. I'm Pip. Find Anna R. Dudley at annardudley.com or on the newsletter, Power Moves Before Policy Does. Anna's brand is Rigor. Sources are cited. We'll see you on the next install.